You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Joe Juravicious with you here. Vote for your favorite Cleveland Browns players to the 2015 Pro Bowl in Arizona by visiting clevelandbrowns.com. Vote now and vote often. Phones 216-578-0850. And also, just want to say this. If I don't go back to Buffalo and hear that train whistle ever again, it was obnoxious. And then the shout, they were playing shout.
That's like the cowbell at a high school game.
Yeah, too much.
Put it away.
Alan Mansfield, welcome to CBD.
Hey, gentlemen, thanks for taking my call.
You got
How
it.
How are you?
Hey, I got a question about Terrence West. It was obvious that was kind of his fumble was kind of the turning point of that game yesterday. He also almost gave up one earlier down toward by the goal line.
Yes.
You think he gets less playing time, or is there something the coaching staff can do to get him to hang on to the ball a little better?
No, I think that, you know, they were very unhappy with it, and I think this is all you need to know about where Terrence West stands right now, at least with the head football coach of the Cleveland Browns. He said, and I said, this is his quote, "I think the fumble by West really changed the whole flow of the game. It would have been a one-score game, and that's a frustrating thing. You can't be that loose with the football. It's inexcusable." So pretty strong right there on Terrence West. I believe that, you know, he's going to be a little bit in the doghouse. I think they thought that was a pivotal play, and it certainly was. So you might see some more Glenn Winston. Isaiah Crowell, to his credit, didn't run very well, didn't have much room or opportunity to run, was in the backfield a lot yesterday, but took care of the football. And I think for this team, they've got to win the turnover battle. That's something they've been getting away from lately, and it's been costing them.
No team that I've ever played on allowed that. I mean, it's not permissible, and especially when you're in the playoff hunt, you cannot turn the ball over. And again, I'm going back to the quarterback situation here. I think when you have two running backs, it may struggle in a game. When you go up against a defense of that caliber, at least a defensive front of that caliber, that the legs of Johnny Manziel can do certain things for you. And again, it's not to be anti-Hoyer. It's just I think right now to get this playoff push and do everything you can to win every single game, the next four games, and get yourself in a playoff, you have got to have everybody up and running. You've got to have all your weapons out ready to go. So you can't turn the ball over. What Terrence West did, you know, it's not permissible. And I've been around enough teams to know that when that happens, coaches aren't happy, and usually changes are made there.
That's yes, and yeah, I would think you got to take care of the football on a team where every possession needs to be at a premium. Joe in Aurora, welcome to CBD. All right, let's go to Doug in Ashland then.
What's up, Doug? Afternoon, gentlemen. I'm really enjoying the show, that's for darn sure.
Thank you.
Thanks,
it never fails when I'm on hold. You guys address everything I wanted to say.
Let's
so I was doing
it.
Dishes, brother. Yeah, but hey, anyhow, good stuff that you said. You know, it's funny. To me, sometimes it seems like with Brian, a lot of folks would rather be right about him than to see us win. And Joe hit it on the head. It's like, if you got a quarterback playing that bad, if you make the postseason, so what? I mean, so you're going to get 50-10, blown out? I mean, is that where we want to go as a team? And I think it's high time to play the rookie. Let's see. But, boy, I've never seen a rookie take more crap than that kid has.
He certainly has. There's no question about it. And I think you make a good point. I think that the win and loss record for Brian Hoyer is obviously somewhat deceiving. The Browns have found a way to win those games. But there is something to him being able to help this team be victorious. His play of recent weeks, though, is not the play of a quarterback who has been 10-5 as a starter, or certainly 7-4 this year. So it does make you wonder, you know, what the thought process is going to be. I still think, and I know everybody thinks that based on everything that I say and, you know, things that I see, that, you know, it's obviously going to be Johnny. Mike Pettine has always been somewhat conservative in these types of situations. And I think that he would have to feel overwhelmingly strong about making this decision before he does. Now, of course, he said to Sal Palantoni that they'd been talking about this potentially for a few weeks, so maybe that makes it seem not as drastic, but I think it is far from a foregone conclusion that Johnny starts this week. I do think it is certainly, though, very possible, and he could bring a lot of lift to this offense.
Nathan is a former NFL player, receiver. You know who I'd play with? Both of them, because it's my job.
That's right.
That's what these guys are going to do. So, listen, I would play with Brian Hoyer because the guy is a winner. He's known to win games. Again, everything's under the microscope right now, and it's becoming very, very hard for him to do well because there's so much pressure on this guy. Going back to the caller's kind of his thought on the playoffs, you can't play this game forever. Joe Thomas's years alone, you know, he's already on year 7 or 8, going on 8, I guess. He's been to the Pro Bowl every time, but he hasn't been to the playoffs. I played this game for one reason. I like championships. The individual accolades that come with it, man, you get enough of those when you go to a restaurant and somebody says hi to you and thank you and all that. I love championships, and that's why I want this Browns team to win today, because something bad can happen next year. It always happens. So I want to win right now, and again, momentum. Every team that I've ever been on, from Jim Fossil pushing the chips in to John Gruden with his calls to – Mike Holmgren, believe it or not, Mike Holmgren, in Seattle, we had momentum going into the playoffs, and that momentum led us to win games and ultimately to the Super Bowl. So I think when you get here, you cannot just look at we're winning games and we're doing okay, we're squeaking by. That's baloney. I want to win games, and I want to go in with momentum so that when somebody has to watch our game film, they're thinking, holy shnikes, man. These guys are coming to play.
They are coming to play. All right, let's go to Greg in Cleveland now. Greg, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Greg.
I'm not in Hoyer's camp, and I'm not in, Manziel's camp, but we need to win this next critical few games that we have left.
No question. Our playoff lives are on the line.
And I think it's justifiable to start Johnny, and here's why. We haven't been getting the production out of Hoyer that we needed. 5 interceptions the past 2 games, 0 touchdowns, and hasn't converted the turnovers that he did get. And so he's going downhill. And the biggest, I think, thing that Brian Hoyer had going for him earlier in the season was a shroud of mystery around his body of work. The more body of work that's out there now, defenses has this guy's number. And so if you have Manziel and Hoyer that in the coach's mind are relatively equal at this point in their performance career, then you go with Johnny Manziel and you regain that shroud of mystery factor and open up a whole other side of the playbook that defenses are going to have a tough time handling.
There's a whole different side of the playbook, too.
We haven't
Johnny.
Even seen.
I mean, I know this for a fact because every team you play with, each quarterback is different. And when somebody comes in, there's a whole different set of rules for them in terms of how they're going to operate an offense. Johnny is such an individual talent, a unique individual talent, that he's going to have a whole different playbook that people aren't even used to. And now when teams are going to waste time studying game film, they don't even know what to study anymore because there's a whole different aspect.
My one question for you, Nathan, I guess, because you've been here, you're here all training camp covering the Cleveland Browns, you're in tune and watch practice. You can divulge if you want, but do you think we'll see a lot more zone read, which will open up some things for this run game?
I think we'll see some of it. It certainly was something they did a lot of in training camp, and then as it kind of went forward, limited it a little bit, but I do think we will see some more of that, obviously, with Johnny Manziel, because you want to cater to the strengths of your players, and that's an opportunity to take advantage of his athleticism. I think as you've seen around the NFL, though, that's come out a little bit,
yes,
because defenses have figured out how to deal with that. So you don't see that nearly as much. You don't see it with the 49ers as much. You
but do it's,
see
a, it still it's a with, wrinkle, though.
With Seattle, absolutely.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson, Marshawn Lynch. So I do think you will see more of that than you have seen in the Brian Hoyer era because there just wasn't a threat of Brian Hoyer to run. So if you make that switch, I do think you'll see more of that incorporated in the game plan. Last caller here for the day, Jonesy in Waco, Texas. What's up, Jonesy?
Howdy.
How you doing?
Howdy.
Oh, pretty good. How are you guys doing?
All right, thank you.
I'm ready to see Hoyer benched, honestly, because, I mean, if you look at the big plays early in the season, Brady Quinn could have made those throws, man. They were wide open.
Let's not go that far. He's a... Go ahead.
Anyway, I'm just... When the coverage is getting tight and the games are getting bigger, he's just doing worse and worse, so, you know.
Yeah.
Time to pass the torch.
And I don't see this, if you do make the switch, I don't see it as being a switch. People are saying, are they just going to give up on the season? I see it being a switch to try to save the season. You're trying to bring Johnny in and say, let's get this offense going and let's see what we can do, because the last few weeks, as we talked about, 1 touchdown, 6 interceptions from Brian Hoyer over the last 4 games. That's not good. 53% completion. That's the worst in the NFL over that stretch. So That's been the issue more than anything else. Want to thank Andrew Gribble for joining us here on the show today. Jim Donovan, the voice of the Cleveland Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. Matt, Joe, and I also broke the game down on Cleveland Browns Today, which you can find at clevelandbrowns.com if you check out the video. Appreciate everybody tuning in. Going to be an interesting week here in Berea, to say the least. We just kind of scratched the surface on this game. We'll get into the overall game grades tomorrow here on CBD. For Joe and Matt, I'm Nathan Zagura saying thanks so much for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily,
driven by Liberty Ford.
Peace.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.